You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Boy, I mean, of all the Buckhawks we have today, I've got a bunch, and
they're mad at you.
They're really mad at you for this 0-9 conversation.
I never got that. When a final score is a final score, and people come back and tell you, you know what, we were going to win that game. What made you think you were going to win that game? You didn't win the game.
How do you not get that, Buck?
What was the score? What was the final score of the freaking game?
Of the national championship.
Of the national championship.
2009.
Who picked up the ring after the championship game was over? How do you go back and then pretend like you won the game?
No, they're not pretending like they won the game. They would have won the game.
You would have won the game.
Okay, let me say this. Those are two very different things.
Let me say this, and this is for folks who are just joining us at 8:03 this morning. We were talking about Zion Williamson last night blowing out his shoe, and then his knee got hurt. And have we seen another game that was that deflating that quickly? And a lot of people mentioned the 09 national title game when Colt McCoy got hurt on the first series, and the rest was history as Alabama went on to win the national title, which led to the question, would Texas have won, which Texas fans believe fervently. Bucky has argued, no, they wouldn't have, or at least you can't say that.
Yeah, I'll say that you can't say that.
If Tom Brady had gotten hurt on the first series of the Super Bowl, and they put Brian Hoyer in the game, and the Rams end up winning the football game, even in a close game that was a one-score game into the fourth quarter, would it have been fair to say that New England likely would have won the game had Tom Brady not gotten hurt?
They would have had a better chance of winning.
Right, which is all I'm saying about Colt. And Colt, at that point, was kind of
That's not the way people are putting it. No, they are. No, they are going.
You're telling me you have to match the careers
of Colt McCoy and Garrett Gilbert.
Well, that's true because Garrett Gilbert was a true freshman, and shame on Mack Brown for not getting Garrett Gilbert more playing time during the regular season.
But how can my opinion be a ridiculous opinion? When Alabama won the game, they had guys rush for 100 yards. I don't understand. How can my opinion be wrong on that?
Your opinion isn't wrong, but the fact that you're putting down the other opinion, now you're putting where
I'm not putting down
anybody's
opinion.
Yes, you are. You're ripping
opinion.
Everybody who thinks Texas would have won the game. You just did that a minute ago.
I'm not ripping them. I'm just
really?
Saying.
You're how do
you,
kind of no, ripping them.
You kind
no,
of are.
I'm
but.
Saying, how do you come that they were going to win the game?
You're telling me if the Rams were up 3-0 in the fourth quarter, which Alabama was up by 3 points until the final 2 minutes of this championship game. Tell me if the Rams were up 3-0 in the Super Bowl and Brady had
final
gotten hurt
minutes.
In the first quarter. You're
first series.
You wouldn't have said that the Patriots would have won that game if Tom Brady didn't get hurt. You wouldn't have said that? Are you kidding me?
And it's also fair to point out that the parallel would be Tom Brady to Brian Hoyer is about Colt McCoy
to Garrett Gilbert.
To Garrett Gilbert as a true freshman who had hardly played. So, yes, Brian Hoyer against that Rams defense and pass rush, yeah, I think the Rams win that game. We saw it last night with North Carolina. Tom Brady goes out of the game, or Colt McCoy's now out of the game. That buoys the other team. The other team now all of a sudden is like, all right, you know, lick your chops, get after this freshman. And again, I don't think Garrett Gilbert or Colt
McCoy.
But
BK, you just said, even with Zion, the other McDonald's All-Americans,
I'm not making the Zion comparison. I didn't bring that up. I don't see these things as comparable. I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I get the deflating feeling, for sure. It's a deflating feeling. I'm not comparing a regular season college hoops game to a national championship.
I think the Longhorns obviously would have had a better chance if Colt McCoy plays every minute of that game. There is no doubt about it. But
I would argue, to BK's point about it's not comparable to Zion. Well, look, Zion being not on the floor was a big factor, but also the emotional. This is a Duke team that starts four freshmen. When their best player went out, they didn't handle that well, and they got smoked. You know, Texas put a true freshman onto the field in that game. I tend to agree. And Colt McCoy was more important to the Texas football team that year than Zion even is to this basketball team. That's how important he is to what Texas was about. And again, we've talked to and heard from the coaches on that staff who have said, we were licking our chops to let Colt unleash on that leaky Alabama secondary, which was not very good that year. And, you know, either way, Texas. And once Garrett Gilbert stopped turning the ball over, he shredded the Alabama secondary and got Texas back into the football game.
This is how crazy it gets to. Bucky, shut up. You sound like a crazy liberal. I mean, it even goes
you're
to being
a crazy liberal.
I love it. It goes from a crazy.
You're a liberal.
It goes to politics. That's how the Texas fan gets involved. It goes from this to that. You're crazy. You're out of your mind.
You're like crazy Bernie Sanders.
What the hell was the score of that game? I'm
37-21.
Okay.
37-21. But they scored 13 points in the fourth quarter to stretch it out. But it was a close one-score game into the fourth, and Texas had Brian Hoyer at quarterback, not Tom Brady.
Yeah, they scored that extra point, that extra touchdown later in the game.
It was a three-point game. Alabama made it a two-score game with 2 minutes and 1 second left on the clock.
Yeah.
So it's reasonable. Of course, I'm not saying they would have for sure. You don't know they would have for sure. But I would argue it is very reasonable to think Texas would have won that game.
I think somebody won their bet on that game.
Just something like, I just like wins and losses.
It's like betting against Texas in title games, isn't it?
I just like wins and losses. I like to look at see how it
– I think everybody – I like winners.
I do. I don't know. I don't like to go back and say, well, if that guy would have played, or guess what, if that punt didn't get blocked, or – you know, or if the shovel pass wasn't, if that shovel pass wasn't call, maybe things would have been different, correct? Isn't that one of the things that happened in that game? Was that a terrible call?
It was a terrible call.
Yeah. Well, those things happen.
Wouldn't have called it with Colt, though. Again, once the play calling changes when a true freshman and experienced quarterback comes in the game, too. I mean, all that changes. The playbook is out the window now. You know, come on. You coach the game. This says, I love you guys in the morning. We've got a young Jewish kid arguing with an old black man. Yeah, that's good. And then there's me in the middle of this thing trying to referee. Hey, let's get some headlines.
Like winners.
Which, yeah, in Texas, I think had a good chance to be on the winning side with their best player, healthy Tom Brady.
Everybody goes back to the Tom Brady for sure.
Well, he was kind of Tom Brady at the time of college football. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the world at that level. Let's get to your headlines. Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by Top Gun, Lawn, and Equipment Rentals. And we'll start with the College Hoops story of the morning. It was much ballyhooed, a lot of hype around Duke, North Carolina last night, and rightfully so. But Zion Williamson was out. The fabulous, phenomenal freshman of Duke was who everybody was there to see. And he blew out his Nike shoe with 33 seconds into the game. And also hurt his knee on that play. And then 8th-ranked North Carolina proceeded to blow out top-ranked Duke at Cameron Indoor, 88-72. Made a hard cut at the 33-second mark of the game. His left Nike shoe blew out, as did the half splits, landed awkwardly, and sprained his right knee. The Tar Heels took over from there. Luke May, the big man, the senior, took control of the empty paint and scored 30 points, grabbed 15 rebounds with no Zion in the game. The star-studded crowd that included the former president, Barack Obama, and Spike Lee, and Ken Griffey Jr., not happy with the way the game went from that point on. Mike Krzyzewski afterwards with an update on the young freshman.
You know, the very first thing is just to address that. It's a mild knee sprain. The knee is stable. We don't know how long he'll be out. I think we'll find out more about that.
March 9th, the next time these two teams play in the regular season, we'll see. Zion could be back well before that. A month ago, Texas A&M President Michael Young said publicly that he was in favor of restoring the Aggies' annual football game with Texas. However, based on Young's recent emails on the topic, doesn't appear that that's actually true. Multiple emails obtained from the Dallas Morning News through an open records request that the president had written with folks say that were quoted as saying it's unlikely to happen to get the rivalry game back together, and that, quote, we have no plans to renew the rivalry game at this time for very practical reasons. Now a lock, the running back Le'Veon Bell will hit the free agent market come March with no strings attached. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert announced yesterday the team will not use the transition tag on the 27-year-old running back who sat out all of last season in a contract dispute, forfeiting $14 million in salary. Huge news on the racing front and the local racing front, possibly. You know, the Circuit of the Americas, part of its business model and the ability to bring the biggest race it has each year, the F1 U.S. Grand Prix, is built around an annual payment from the state of Texas and the Major Events Trust Fund of $25 million. Yesterday, the state rejected COTA's formal application for its 2018 payment on a legal technicality, claiming that it did not submit the proper paperwork a month before the race. And finally, in golf, Steve Stricker has been named the captain for the 2020 U.S. Ryder Cup team.
Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come by Top Gun's Open House Crawfish Boil March 8th for deep, deep discounts on all our zero-turn mowers and outdoor power equipment.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Hey, Buck, we'll get back.
Were you supposed to turn in that paperwork?
Wasn't my job.
BK, didn't we talk last week about turning in that paperwork for COTA? No?
Hopefully they wouldn't trust me with $25 million worth of paperwork.
It should have been in by last September. Had to be in like a month before the race.
I thought I told somebody to do that.
Didn't get that in. It was all about human trafficking. There's a human trafficking element that they have to, what their human trafficking plan is. They didn't submit the paperwork soon enough. and it could cost them $25 million. We'll see. That's and look, that we'll snicker about who didn't turn in the paperwork, and there are some who are claiming that they didn't want to turn in the paperwork. Also, the head of COTA is saying that, hey, we still feel like we'll win this and we'll get that technicality. We'll get our money. But here's the deal. If they don't get their money, I hate to say that race is in jeopardy, but that race is in jeopardy. You know how this works with F1 and Bernie Ecclestone, who runs F1.
Right.
The $25 million bucks comes after each race.
Yes.
So they apply for it after the 2018 race based on tax revenues and numbers they can show that look at the influx of revenue we brought to the state and the city. Here, cut us a check for $25 million from the state's fund. If they don't get that money, because they then take that money and give it to Bernie Ecclestone to bring the race to Austin. And if they don't have the $25 million lump sum to give to F1 and Bernie Ecclestone, I don't know if they can just make that up. Because then all of a sudden that becomes a massive anchor. And Bernie Ecclestone has already said, well, that's Austin's problem. Well, that's COTA's problem at this point.
Or somebody's going to get their ass chewed out.
Because it's more than just that. Lawsuits and who knows. Because, you know, there's no secret with Bernie Ecclestone and F1 that it's kind of bribery. I mean, you're paying me a lot of money to bring the race to your place. Pay or don't get it is essentially the way that operates, which is, high stakes, high billion-dollar blackmail at some level, but it's their biggest race of the year, and it's an international event. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, Le'Veon Bell, after finding out from the general manager of the Steelers that there will be no transition tag at all, he's an absolute open-book free agent when the NFL's free agency period begins March 14th, tweeted this at his Twitter account.
What a clown. What a clown.
I know he was just being snarky and funny, but that's not really a funny, snarky thing to mess around with.
No.
That was a very serious
moment in our country's history. And you were the guy who gave up $14 million.
And this is over a football contract.
Yeah. Give up $14 million.
He will be a free agent, though.
He's got a point. He will have a point to prove, but one thing you can't do is that money is not coming back.
No, he didn't get that back.
Uh-uh.
Also, on the Zion Williamson story, I read this tweet. Zion suffering a serious injury because of a bad shoe his school was being paid millions for him to wear, and he got nothing for, would be one of the cruelest twists of fate in college sports history. That is kind of true, because Nike spends millions of dollars with Duke and other programs to have them wear the Nike shoes. And if that was actually the cause of a major injury, wouldn't that have been? I mean, this is a big story as is, but... Because I'm skeptical that Zion Williamson plays again. I'm kind of digging into the kind of like the Kyler Murray thing, you know.
Yeah.
With Kyler Murray saying, "Look, I'm still playing baseball." But when you watched him play football, your mind was like, "Well, this guy's not going to walk away from football. He's too good at it." But at the same time, Zion can say what he wants, but he's being told from a lot of people around him that why would you step foot back on that floor and risk further injury?
Yeah, I would think that
you're 3 months away.
His dad has got to be looking at him going, is this what you want to do? But I think that kid is in control of what's going on in his life. He just seems like that kind of young man that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to play. I was going to leave anyway after my freshman year. I know I'm in the number one pick. But this is just a knee sprain, and
I'm
back.
Let's be honest, though. He's only in college because that's the rule. He's only there. And you can say he's there because he loves Duke and loves the rivalry and loves college basketball. That ain't true.
But there are some athletes that really do enjoy being there around teammates.
So you
teammates
think if there was
stuff.
No 19-year-old age requirement by the NBA that he would have done a year at Duke?
No.
As an 18-year-old?
No, I think he would have been gone.
Which is why I think with 3 months to the draft.
But I also think that once he got into it and once he got around his teammates, his decision is to hang with
those. Now he's invested.
And now you're a part of the Duke, the whole thing, the fans, the kids around you and stuff like that. Now, I wouldn't be upset at him, but I'd be surprised if he didn't, you know what, oh, my knee's back to normal, I'm good to go, here we go, let's go on with the rest of the season, then I'm gone. Now, nobody would be mad at him. I don't think anybody would be mad at him.
Meanwhile, the former Notre Dame and Oklahoma State basketball player Doug Gottlieb, who now does radio, tweeted this, to your point, says, what the blank is matter with media dudes? Obviously, you never played blank. You come to Duke to beat Carolina, win the ACC, win the ACC tournament, go to the Final Four and win a title. The idea this all means nothing is gross. Go away. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I just think he's just an athlete. He's an athlete.
Got to weigh the options. Is it more worth it to me to come back and help my team win the ACC and win a national title for no money, or to ensure that I'm 100% healthy for the NBA draft in 3 months. Or
a lot of times
months.
It's not about it. Certain athletes love playing the game, and they're willing to risk whatever it is, first to be the number one pick, just to be around their teammates and play the game that they've always played it. And they've never gotten hurt before. And, yeah, there's always that chance you can get hurt. I mean, it happened to him last night. But if it's just a knee sprain, I think he's just going to – just if it's truly going to be all right now, if he's truly got a problem with it, he's not going to come back.
Know,
and I don't think he's going to play the Kawhi Leonard, my leg, my back is broke.
That's the whole thing, though, right? He doesn't officially have to take the heat from coming out and saying, look, I'm just packing it in. Sorry, Duke. He could actually go with the Kawhi Leonard, oh, wait, my knee hurts, and it's just not getting better, and I need to go see therapists, and I need to make sure it's – because he would be a fool to step back on the court before it's 100%.
No, I don't see him. So I think he's going to be – I think he's – No, he knows his body better than anybody. He jumps back when he's ready to go.
I hope he's back. I hope he's back for the tournament. I want to watch him in the tournament and see if he can lead Duke to a title, because it would be tremendous. But
some people just love the game. I mean, some people just like to play.
Well, he'll be able to play and get paid to play.
Stop it with the get paid. You keep saying money. It really isn't about the money right now. In his mind right now, it's not about the money. It's about being around those guys.
And so, again, if there weren't a 19-year-old rule, then your guy Zion would have done a year in college just because he loves it.
And he would have been playing for money somewhere else and being around his teammates and getting back on the court a lot sooner,
when you get that first paycheck. And but BK's in there
for everybody.
BK's in there going, dude, that guy's getting paid already. Come on.
Of course he is.
Well, where's the bag man?
Of course he's getting paid. He already has his agent. He's probably driving around campus with a nice car. He's got everything that he didn't have the contract. That's what he doesn't have. He's not living in poverty at Duke, is he?
If it's a conversation of worth, then no, he shouldn't come back. But if it's a conversation of worth, then he should have gone to play in Europe for a year and make some money and then go to the NBA, you know?
Yeah, well, I anticipate him being back. I really do. But at the same time, you got to think he's thinking about it. Because that was a scary injury last night. That could have been a lot worse. That could have been that thing blew out and some Asian kid didn't make his shoe right for 10 cents. Nike? Is that fair? Are they still making those over there in China? Well, where are they making those shoes? Nike?
They make them for a lot cheaper than they make them here. I'll say that. But he's going to sign. That Nike deal is going to flip that thing back around. Of course, Nike's not going to make a brand.
Cover that deal.
Well, they're going to make a brand of shoe that talks, you know, that says how great the shoe is. And Zion's going to say, he's going to tell you about how great the Nike shoe is after this. That's what he's going to do. He's going to make a bunch of $1 million.
I saw Coach Tom Herman putting on a brand new pair of Nike shoes fresh out of the box on video recently that kind of had like airlock on them.
Oh, they got them all kinds of.
Like a shoe, it's laceless and you put them on. I got to look.
It's like the Back to the Future bit.
Yeah, how does that work?
Self-lacing, self-tying shoe.
Yeah, they lock on your foot.
Do you guys foresee Zion trying to go Kawhi Leonard?
No.
But you don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Does he have an uncle?
Nah, it seems like he's... I mean,
I don't think he'd do it the way Kawhi Leonard did. I think if he was...
He'd just say he's not ready.
If he was hanging him up, he would say, I'm hanging him up. He'd go Nick Bosa. He's just like, I'm done. I'm done here. I'm going to the draft.
He seems like that kind of person.
He wouldn't be like prolonging it and saying,
And you think Duke would hide it? Like, well, he's not...
Oh, Mike Krzyzewski would have to play. Look, we support Zion and whatever he does.
Correct.
He wants to recruit the next one and done kid.
Well, he's got five of them.
Yeah. So he's not going to come out and criticize Zion if Zion says, hey, I'm out, coach. Now, behind the scenes...
But they're also not going to hide it behind the scenes at Duke either. That kid's, like BK said, either he's coming out and just saying, you know, I'm done. I'm worried about my future career. But they're not going to say, well, it seems like maybe in 2 weeks he'll be back. Or, wait a minute, in the third week he'll be back. They're not going to play this game with the public. That's either scared him enough to say I'm done, or I'll be back in 2 weeks or a week and a half. I'm fine.
Well, by the way, you know, and this is true, and I just saw this headline.
He's getting paid.
But so for the Nike brand, it says here, Zion's shoe blowout is the exact opposite of Tiger's legendary chip-in. Remember when Nike was getting into the golf industry? And
Tiger, the ball was there?
And Tiger chipped in on the 12th hole at Augusta, and it just kind of rolled into the cup, and the Nike swoosh rolled in super slow-mo.
This is a moneymaker, this shoe blowing
out. No, this is bad, because in every other... Everybody else that does shoes are in their boardroom this morning putting together creative that says, hey, look, Nike shoes suck. Almost broke this guy's leg. Don't buy them, buy ours. You know what I mean? You don't think that's happening?
Of course it is. It better be.
But it'll be out today. Hey, Nike shoes are terrible. Don't buy them.
And Zion will and Zion will double up his money on Nike because when they have an ad about how great the shoes are, he'll be the feature guy in that. I trust these shoes.
Wow, the Asian kid comment was rough. Well, some kid's making those shoes for nickels, right, didn't they? Isn't that how that works?
I don't even know where they're made. Where are Nike?
Little Rocket, man.
Where are they made anyway?
Factories and... Asia and the Middle East.
Is that where they are?
Asia.
They are there?
That's the majority. I mean, they have American factories, too.
Might be a little rough. Doesn't mean it's untrue.
Zion.
A little more glue there, kid.
He's going to make more money out of this than he would have just going out of college. This blowout is going to make some money.
we'll also shift some gears here, get into the conversation of Dakota and where they're sitting, the Le'Veon Bell situation now that he's going to be a free agent. Also, David Pierce coming up with his thoughts on the first four games for the Longhorns. Pretty successful, 3-1 to start the year coming home to face Purdue this weekend. I want to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions, though. The solutions for your outdoor space, they're phenomenal. I tell you all the time, 10 years and more right here in Austin building those custom backyards. And that's, you know, if you don't have one, maybe you bought a new house, you love the house, but the backyards, there's not much happening back there. Call Allied Outdoor Solutions. Say, look, come on out and have a look. They'll get you a risk-free estimate, 835-6100, and they can build you the oasis, the resort in your backyard. They've got outdoor kitchens that they can do, the outdoor patio covers, the water feature, so it sounds relaxing out there after a long week, the fire pit for the cool nights. They do it all. And, you know, when you go to a resort, one of the great things is to go out there and just sit back and have a cold drink. They can create that in your own backyard, and they do it with an amazing custom style. It'll look like it came with the house. It won't look like an add-on or an addition. It'll look like it's always been there. That's the work that they do, the eye that they have at Allied Outdoor Solutions. They're an accredited member of the BBB and have been for a decade. They're tremendous. Angie's List best pick group for the last 5 years. You know you're getting great quality, great workmanship with Allied Outdoor Solutions, 835-6100. Head to the website, AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. This says, I'm an ex-equipment manager for UT basketball.
Ooh.
Shoe blowouts happen more often than you believe across all brands.
I've seen a blowout before.
I guess I can see that. But I'm just saying, you don't think the other shoe manufacturers are going to, and retailers, they're going to pounce on that for what they can get out of it.
This makes the return of Puma.
Puma.
Puma Nation returns now thanks to this.
Maybe Kangaroos can come back now. Maybe anything. Skechers. Maybe Matt Kuchar and his Skechers.
No.
Terry Bradshaw and the Skechers crew can make the next step. No pun intended. You know? All right, we come back. When we do, it's David Pierce, head baseball coach at Texas, with our weekly visit. Then it's Salacious Gossip and Your Blitz, a part of a busy Thursday. All right, B&E with you. More to come. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got Salacious Gossip, Your Blitz, more buck-ons and buck-offs on this Thursday where the clouds are rolling back in after a beautiful sunny day yesterday. Some scattered showers, more clouds today. Still same temperature, about 65 degrees. Looking like a great weekend for some baseball out at UFCU Dish Falk Field, and there'll be four games played there, especially Saturday, Sunday. Weather looking phenomenal for the home opening weekend for your Longhorns. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He's the head coach. Normally joins us on Wednesday, but had a late night at Rice and back to Austin early yesterday, ready for the weekend. He is David Pierce. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, Aaron. How are you, Bucky?
Doing fantastic, Coach. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Hey, so early morning yesterday, but have to feel pretty good about the first weekend. And I found it interesting that you guys went to Louisiana Lafayette and just stayed in Houston to get ready for the Rice game that, you know, instead of coming all the way back to Austin, all the way back to Houston for Tuesday. How do you feel like that worked out for your guys travel-wise?
It did. I mean, it was an unusual start to go out opening weekend on the road and then move from there to a midweek. And we had to spend a night, two nights in Houston. But it made more sense than coming all the way back and then going back to Houston. So I thought it was good for us. We had had some dead time. We had a great dinner Monday night at the Clemens house, and we were just able to kind of bond a little bit and do some things outside of just playing. And that happened basically earlier than normal. I mean, normally you see that later in the season, and we did it the first week of the season.
You know, I was worried that you guys may have played some golf or stopped off a little bit in Lake Charles on the way back from Louisiana, Coach. Get a round of golf in or something. It's early in the season. The way you guys are hitting the ball, I thought maybe they deserve some golf, the way the guys are slamming that ball around right now.
Bucky, we don't play golf in the spring. Just for your information. Okay. No golf in the spring.
Okay, no golfing in the spring. But the way you're knocking the ball around, Coach, and putting runs on the board, you got to be excited about the way this team is scoring so far.
Yeah, you know, we had a low-scoring game Friday night. Really, two really great pitchers went at it. And then the next 2 days there was some scoring, and we really hit the ball well Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. But we're just really trying to be productive. We're not necessarily involved in our batting average. We just want to try to create runs and be productive as an RBI guy or a guy that has the ability to get on base and score runs.
Coach, start with the Friday night game. We talked last Wednesday about Bryce Elder and moving from the bullpen and then into the starting rotation. He's the Big 12 pitcher of the week, and boy, did he pitch like a Friday night starter for you guys at Lafayette in a hostile environment on Friday. I had to be pleased with that mental toughness.
It was great. That was one of the things we actually talked about going into the series, is knowing that there are going to be distractions and how we could handle that right out of the gates. And Bryce was best I've ever seen him for that length of time. He threw 8 complete, went into the ninth. His pitch count was great and just totally dominated at times. I think he retired 11 in a row. But the key for me is that he kept the entire defense involved in the game with great tempo and just commanding the strike zone.
Another guy that I feel like you need to single out for the weekend, not to single anybody out, but just talk about because of performances on the pitching side, was Cole Quintanilla. He pitched in the Saturday game, then again against Rice. I mean, this is a true freshman from Cedar Park who came in and just really dominated some good lineups to help you bridge gaps and gobble up some innings.
Yeah, he's actually a redshirt freshman, and he came in as a very highly recruited kid, and then had a setback as he came in. But Saturday really was awesome to watch him go out because of all the work he's put in his rehab to have great success. And I thought he was good Saturday. His stuff was dominating, but Tuesday he was unhittable. He was 91 to 96 on Tuesday, and it was electric. And that was fun to watch him really settle in and get into position. And you could really see it in his demeanor and how he approached it. So I thought that was one of the highlights for sure, Aaron.
You know, Coach, on Sunday when you were down 8-1, and it could have been one of those ones where you easily walk away and say, you know what, we got 2 out of 3. It's been, you know, we've had a very productive weekend. But the way the guys fought on Sunday I thought was really cool. A lot of guys came in, really contributed, and the team never stopped playing. Early in the season, maybe teams say, okay, we'll take the 2 out of 3. But your group just kept on going on Sunday.
We were not excited that we won 2 out of 3, to be honest with you. We should have never been down 8-1. You know, when you walk 9 hitters, you're going to give up runs. And we went out and we gave them the game, but you're right. Even though we didn't play our pitch as well as we needed to win the game, offensively, we were never out of the game, and the game ended with the tying run at second base. So we were in it. We did a great job of continuing to have good at-bats and to get ourselves back in position to have a chance to win. And it just didn't work out for us, and unfortunately, we lost Sunday. But it was disappointing to be down 8-1 because of the way we were down. We just were not attacking the strike zone. So if there's any negative of the 4 games we've played, it was the period of Sunday where we just walked too many hitters. Other than that, it was pretty complete.
It was. And Coy Cobb, the young right-hander that took the hill on Sunday, I heard Keith Moreland on our broadcast talking about he's got the stuff, but he's got to handle the road environment for a young guy. Learning experience for him, you have to say.
Well, I think you saw it with Coy, and I think he's going to be better his next time out. Same thing with Ty Madden on Tuesday. He's a Houston kid, and he goes home. Those two are really committed, great character kids. But, you know, I wouldn't say the moment got to them. They just weren't as good as they can be. And I think you're going to see those two really get better. We talked a little bit about Cole earlier. On Saturday, Cole was good. We saw that with Cam Fields. Cam Fields is still a very young pitcher. And on Friday night, he had a tough night. But on Tuesday, he bounced back. It was outstanding. Had his best stuff and his best command. And both of those two guys, you could really see the difference their second time out versus their first time.
Well, there's no doubt, Coach, as you can see the speed of your baseball team. Guys are guys that look absolutely – they don't just look quick, they look fast. And that's got to make you feel really, really good for getting these extra bases and guys taking chances on steals. That looks like a really well-rounded baseball team right now that you have.
Well, I appreciate it. They're playing hard. They're doing the right things. We got speed at the top with Ellis and Kennedy, and Kennedy's another one of those freshmen that everybody needs to keep an eye on. But Duke Ellis has been outstanding in the leadoff. He's got an on-base average above 600 right now, and he just is kind of the catalyst. And then getting Austin Todd back, who can really run and hit with power, and the 3-0 has been helpful. And then just filling in the blanks, and it was nice to see Zubia show his power on Tuesday night as well. So, you know, we've got a tough schedule. We've got a tough Purdue team coming in, and we're going to continue to be challenged, but this group is a fun group to work with.
David Pierce is with us, head baseball coach at Texas. 3-1 the start with three road games, and now coming home for four with Purdue. Bucky mentions that speed and the athleticism you have in your lineup, Coach. That also helps on defense. I mean, I heard Keith Moreland again make a couple comments about the way you guys cover the ground in the outfield, and that'll help, you know, the guys that can really get to balls that a lot of times would be extra base hits. That's got to be huge for you to put that kind of speed, especially at the dish.
Well, you're right, and I remember as a younger coach and also as a player coming in here and watching gazelles in the outfield at Texas. And, you know, when you've got three guys at this place that can really go get them, it's not only awesome to watch, but those pitchers really appreciate it too. We do team awards, and Duke Ellis was our defensive player of the week this past week. Ran into the wall and made two great catches last week. You have Kennedy, Ellis, and Todd are as fast as any outfield in the country, in my opinion, when you put all three of them together. All of them can really run 6'5", 6'6", runners at the 60. And I think if they just continue to get good jumps and take great angles, pitchers are going to love them.
Yeah, just throw to that big park, and Texas will have a chance to do it for the first time in 2019 this weekend. Tell us about Purdue. You mentioned out of the Big Ten, they had a rough first weekend, but maybe no conference in all of college baseball has improved the last half decade than the Big Ten, and they're part of that. And they'll be coming in here for four games starting Friday at 6:30.
You're right. We don't know a lot about them just yet, just coming off of the Tuesday game. Yesterday, for me, it was about preparation for our team. The coaches get into Purdue yesterday, so they'll start a right, left, right, and then I'm not sure on Sunday who they'll start. But the one thing you do need to know about them, Mark Wasikowski was there. He's their head coach who was at Arizona, went out to Oregon with Coach Horton. So he's a baseball guy. He's not just a Midwest guy that hasn't done well. He's done really, really well, and took Purdue to the postseason for the first time in many years last year. So they're going to be well prepared. They'll be a tough team for four in here at the dish. We're looking forward to playing in front of our fans, playing at home as well.
Hey, Coach, last thing, you mentioned you Monday night you spent over at the Clemens house there in Houston. How was that, hanging out with Roger and pretty good spread of food?
We had fajitas, and it was just fun just having the kids together outside of, the field. But what was really cool is their house is like a museum, and he was the tour guide. So it was fun to just look at some of the things that he's enjoyed in his career and to share with our players. It wasn't just memorabilia of him, but just a ton of baseball and sport memorabilia throughout their home. And they were very, very gracious to invite us over and just have a nice meal that would be outside of a restaurant and just where our guys could just relax for an evening. It was really good.
Very cool. Coach, always appreciate you. And we'll do it again next Wednesday. Best of luck this weekend. We're looking forward to seeing the team in person for four games.
Thanks, Coach.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, David Pierce. Good stuff. Yeah, team, as you said, pretty well put together.
They are.
Informing. They've got arms. We know that.
Young guys that can run, too. I like that.
And I'm glad this time around, this week, you didn't say, hey, Coach, you guys look really good.
I didn't know. I'm not going to say
David
that again.
Hamilton still
well, I thought you were going to say when he said we have a no golf policy in the spring, I thought you were going to be like, oh, but you don't have a no scooter policy.
No, I'm not going to do that to the
twist
coach.
The knife.
And I would not say, you know how fast you really would be with if David was playing in that lineup? I won't do that.
Well, it's funny about the outfield. He mentioned the Gazelles. I was listening to Keith and the guys this weekend, and Keith on several occasions would say, oh, whoa, that's well struck. And then
he made that
look easy. I mean, he ran that down. So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I know the Occupy left field crew will be out there in left field these games because of the trip to Omaha last year, and all the excitement will be events and the first chance. So, and as you said, Buck, you're our Farmer's Almanac over there. You think Saturday and Sunday looking really good.
It's going to be a really nice weekend.
Could be a chance for some showers on Friday. So we'll keep an eye on that into Friday. But Saturday, Sunday, looking like perfect baseball weather. And that's the day of the doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, they wrap things up with Purdue. All those games right here on the Horn this weekend. All right, so we come back. It's Salacious Gossip. Then it's your Blitz. The gossip includes one of the Buck offs of the day. This guy, Jesse Smollett, has gone from America's favorite victim to arrested. He's been arrested and charged. He could be on his way to jail. Not good. Plus, your Blitz loaded up on a Thursday, 447-3776. B&E on the Horn.
One need look no further than last night's ballyhooed showdown between Duke and North Carolina to see the very fragile nature of a college basketball game and, on perhaps a larger scale, a season. Duke's National Player of the Year candidate freshman Zion Williamson goes down blowing out a shoe and spraining a knee barely 33 seconds into the contest, and the Blue Devils, even on their own home court, became vulnerable and easy prey for Carolina, losing by 16 points. For area teams, opportunity and obstacles remain. Texas State hosts Louisiana Monroe tonight at Strand Arena, with NCAA tournament projections showing the Bobcats currently in the field of 68 if the tournament began today. But that, of course, is based on the Cats winning the Sun Belt Conference tournament, which Danny Casper's club has a better chance of doing if they remain in first place and earn the league's number one seed for that tournament next month in New Orleans. The Texas Longhorns are currently in sixth place in the Big 12 conference standings, but they're only one game out of fourth. And head coach Shaka Smart says it's still about the here and now and not getting caught up in what could be the excitement of next month's madness.
You certainly want to be in a position where the most important games you have are ahead of you, and you have the chance to go create the season that you want to create. Because the nature of our sport is interesting in that every game matters going back to November 6th, but March is the time that is so incredibly important and people remember the most, and where the most lasting memories are made as a player and as a coach. So that's what we're working towards.
Coming up this afternoon, Shaka Smart spells out some of the specific areas for improvement down the stretch for his team. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip. We got some good stuff today. Good stuff. On the day that we've announced Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off sign-ups for 2019, we'll get you more details on that coming up. Got our buddy Wayne Miller from Louis Miller Barbecue on, our smoked meat ambassador, the head of our barbecue cook-off. We'll have more on that coming up in the next hour. Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light, my favorite light beer and yours, number one selling light beer in the world. Good times are great. Great times become unforgettable with a couple of ice-cold Bud Lights. Be safe and smart. And speaking of safe and smart, this story is just breaking. So I'm going to still stick it in Salacious Gossip, but I believe it to be true, though. So Syracuse in college basketball tonight beat up on Louisville?
Yes. Beat him pretty good.
After the game, Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man while driving on an I-690 in Syracuse. Boeheim is cooperating with the investigation, was interviewed by police before being released Wednesday night. Apparently on his way home, the victim of Wednesday's accident reportedly exited his vehicle near Thompson Road in Syracuse around midnight before he was struck by Boeheim and his car. Conditions were icy. Dang, that's terrible.
It's awful.
Terrible for all parties. It seems like it was an accident on slick streets and wet, icy streets, but man, what a shock that is. Speaking of icy conditions, how about this guy? You guys will find there's no way to criticize this dude, because you two, whenever I have a feel-good story, you two knuckleheads throw a wet blanket on it. I don't know how. But David, 18-year-old David Holston from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Coeur d'Alene. Been there, done that, love that.
So Seattle, the city of Seattle, has been suffering through its snowiest February in 70 years.
Seattle.
Up to 10 inches of snow in some places. But this dude, David, 18 years old, got out his snow machine, went to Seattle, and says he made $35,000 in 4 days.
Easily.
$35,000 in 4 days.
Now that's getting it done right there.
What is removing a snow machine.
It looks like a lawnmower, and it just blows them. And I don't know how it works.
Talking Girl Scouts would have their mom and dad out there getting that done.
Well, this dude showed up, man, and said, pay me. This yard after yard, driveway after driveway, the sidewalks.
I don't know if you two would ever know this, because that's what I did as a kid. When it would snow, I'd bring my shovel out. Me and my brother would go from door to door and shovel those walkways for people.
Did you make 35 G's in 4 days?
Well, we made probably $3 a house. That included the driveway, the steps,
well,
the whole
back
works.
When you were a kid, $3
was a lot.
That's probably about $3,000 nowadays.
No, back it's not quite that much. No, not quite that much. But yeah,
35 G's.
That's a good bit. I will never call anyone out for being entrepreneurial. That's smart.
That's very smart.
Set up a Craigslist ad offering to plow snow. And, of course, Seattle doesn't see that much snow, so people are freaked out. They're panicking.
And if you've got a snowblower and a machine like that, that thing is done in like 20 minutes. Out next. Who's up next?
Oh, he had a snowplow truck and this machine, so he was able to do all of it, man. He just went to work. 35 G's, 18 years old. Way to go, man.
That is a smart move right there.
Who says millennials can't knock this thing out of the park? Also, it's now official. Jussie Smollett, the Empire actor, has been charged by Chicago police. He, of course, created the entire hoax of his attack recently, which went national. He's now in charge, and he's going to be charged with a crime, rightfully so. And finally, before we get to your blitz, it's official also. The lovely and talented Holly Saunders cut her teeth on the Golf Channel after coming out of Michigan State. Worked on some Fox golf coverage. Well, she's now joined the NFL Network. She's had a tweet yesterday of her standing in front of a wall with the NFL shield in a very revealing outfit. Nice look there. That's thanking the smart, talented friends and colleagues she's about to work with.
They don't have to, the NFL, they don't have to have the F in the middle, because they substitute that middle part of the F with her butt.
Her butt. And I would say she's getting that job completely on her keen football knowledge. Keen football knowledge. And
she's probably pretty smart at that, but she looks fabulous.
Oh, and by the way, she's dating Cliff Kingsbury.
He's gone that direction now?
Yeah, that's
what a difference.
That's her beau.
That's her man.
That's her boo. Or no, what is it called now? The bay? It's her bay.
She needs to understand. I got my eyes on you. Just don't watch yourself there, girly.
Holly Saunders now bringing you quality NFL coverage.
She's pretty smart. She's good at what she does.
Knows
Wasn't
football.
She?
Yep.
Dude, Jim Boeheim just killed a guy. It's crazy.
I know. We just mentioned that.
I know.
It's
Sorry,
still crazy.
I haven't been able to wrap my head about anything else besides that.
I know. Well, that brings back bad memories for you, I know. All right, so there you go. A little salacious gossip. Good for young Holly Saunders, and hope her and Cliff are doing well. Are you jealous of her or Cliff?
I know.
Let's get to the blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, come on. Y'all don't get mad at Bucky. He'll get his. He's going to be over there at the Horn Bash judging all the guys' meat.
Yeah, pork, ribs, brisket, and chicken.
I like the chicken.
The whole chicken. You got to go a whole chicken.
Oh, I love chicken. Next Blitzer, you're up.
It's 957 New York Simon, Kirkhurst Street, and yes, Jay Billis still suck.
What's wrong with Jay Billis?
Didn't like Jay Billis at all. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, for the home bash, how is Bucky going to decide who gets to stay in his tent with him this year?
We haven't decided. Are we going to get a tent this year, a glamping event in the back end there?
I may have to hold out to next year's tent event with the what's the monster tent.
The glamping event with all of your knickknacks was the highlight of last year.
Those are all the things from the Roy G. Biv room that I brought with me last year. Last Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yeah.
I heard y'all listen off all that thing that's going to be at the bash. I didn't hear about a poop station. Who's going to pick up my poop back there?
Well, we will have porta-potties.
We have porta-potties.
Disgusting. We will have bathroom services for you at the Horn Bash. Question is, last year at Horn Bash, you were not married. Now you are married. Will you be bringing your lovely wife to Horn Bash?
Everyone There's a wants good to know. Possibility that you will not meet her at Horn Bash.
Come on!
By the way, there's probably a 100% chance that you will not meet her at Hornbash.
I know the lovely Joyce. She wants to come.
She does not
want
to come, believe me.
We're going to have vendors and jewelry shops and all kinds of fun stuff for everyone to do.
It's not on Wednesday. Is it on Wednesday night?
Well, it's on Saturday.
Oh, Joyce is not a meat eater, if you know what I mean.
You know what you guys could do? Because also on that Saturday, because it's the first Saturday of May, May 4th, it's Buta Downtown Market Days. You go down to Downtown Buta, do the market
Saturday?
Day. Yeah, then come over to Hornbash. Take it in, man.
No.
She's going to have fun. All your lady friends
like
will have fun at Hornbash.
Keep this one for another 20 years, too, if I can.
We come back. We'll reset that Hornbash announcement we made earlier. We'll also, we'll get into this story. Very tragic that Jim Boeheim, looks like he killed a guy last night after their win over Louisville.
That's shocking.
Seems like an accident.
Right,
pretty shocking to read on this Thursday morning. Plus more on the fallout from Zion Williamson and that situation. And, A&M president apparently saying one thing publicly, but writing other things in emails about the Texas A&M rivalry. It's Beanie on the Horn.